Blog Talk Radio.
What's good, everybody? What is up, everybody? This is Pastor Kofi, a.k.a. the Shadow Band One. I am Pastor, Servant to Christ, where we're always changing lives one mind at a time, and I am allowed by my brother, Brother Alfred, to come on behalf of nsfatherhood.org. That's N is in national, S is in saving, fatherhood, nsfatherhood.org. Go check it out to find out many things that we're doing for the community. And we are here to talk about things on this show called Kofi Speaks. This is episode number 2. I am running around a little bit because of just situation, so hopefully I won't have to move around on you guys too much. So sorry if you'll hear a little bit of stuff. The weather has actually turned a little bit, so it's trying to rain and thunderstorm and all that, but we're still going to give you good content. We're still going to come here to make sure that you are able to learn on some things from the perspective of a black father. And once again, I'm thankful to Brother Alfred for allowing me this opportunity to come on. By the way, Brother Alfred has a show that he allows me to co-host on Thursdays on this very same streaming service. I'm at Blog Talk Radio. So if you would like to, make sure that you take time out to go to nsfatherhood.org. Go there, go on the website, look up NSF radio stations. When you go there, then just click on Blog Talk Radio. As soon as you do that, something will pop up at the top of your screen that will be there for you to be able to go ahead and subscribe or to sign in. And then once that happens, you'll get notifications once the show starts. But I'm glad, I'm thankful to be on today. And if you have a question, comment, concern, if you want to come on with us and listen in, just dial in 516-418-5805, and hopefully we will be able to go ahead and get you on today. I'm trying some things out, so I'm going to try and also do some things on the board. So hopefully we'll have access to some things to be able to help things go on. But we're grateful to have you guys on, and I'm thankful to have an opportunity to speak. So we want to speak on some things, and we're actually going to we're going to actually talk about some things going on with Jada and Will. So I'm excited to be on with you guys. Not sure if looks like we may or may not have somebody on right now. Is there somebody on 207 number? Is somebody on with us? Okay, maybe not as of yet. All right. So, okay. Is somebody there? Hello?
Yeah, bro. It's Brother Alfred here.
Oh, okay. All right. Hey, how you doing, brother? Sorry about that. But, yeah, so thank you guys for being on. We're going to go ahead and get into our conversation. I wanted to start with this is something that's older, but I haven't really discussed it on this program, talked about it on the podcast, but really didn't have too much of a chance to talk about it as far as things from the fatherhood perspective. And so one of the things that's been interesting is we have Brother Alfred, you know, I'll turn it over to you in a little bit if you'd like to be able to speak on some of this stuff. I know you're just listening in, but if you feel led, just add something to it. I'll leave you an opportunity in a second. But I want to talk about the Will and Jada thing because it's very interesting. Because what's happened with this whole situation is people have begun to tell us that, you know, have begun to say things as far as, oh, you guys are bashing women because Jada messed up. You don't mention anything that Will has done. And I thought this is a very good program to, you know, to use to address that situation. Because the fact of the matter is that if we're going to be honest about this situation, there are two people involved in this, really more than just two. There's actually, you've got Will, you've got Jada, you've got the guy they call August or Aug, whatever his actual rap name or name is, I don't know. You've got the family as well, who was in on this and allowing this to happen underneath their father's nose, as well as, like, you know, the August is the friend of Will's son, you know, so you got a lot of different stuff that's going on with this. And I thought one of the things that would be interesting to talk about concerning this topic is the fact that we're dealing with, if you're not aware, we're dealing with treachery, but we're also dealing with a non-marriage that is being put in front of us as a marriage. And as fathers, we've got to be careful because we're into this weird thing of we're going to sow our royal oats, so to speak, right? Like, we're just going to have sex with as many women as possible. We're going to just do what we do. And, you know, if people, you know, if women want to get down like that, if brothers want to get down like that, so what? Mind your business, or you mind your own business. This doesn't have anything to do with you, yada, yada, yada. The problem with this, though, is that we're sitting up here telling people to mind their own business, to not worry about these things happening, to not think, you know, what others are going through. That's what we're telling people. By saying that, and the reality is that we had a non-marriage, and what I mean by that is, brothers, this is something that some brothers actually do or have a mindset that leads to some of this stuff that we're going to talk about. You have Will Smith, who is a very you know, controversial person in this, where he is already sexually involved in some things outside of his marriage, sexuality with people outside of, even if you believe some of the rumors and stuff, which I won't go deep into, but even some of the rumors as far as him being involved with homosexuality, him having multiple partners before, the fact that he's not doing things as a man to, like, stand up for his cast members, him, you know, just outright not being the very person that everybody makes him out to be, and that, in all honesty, he made himself out to be. He realizes Jada Pinkett's going to be at a party in their original meeting, and he decides, okay, I'm going to try and go ahead and be involved in Jada Pinkett's life. I'm going to try and get with her. And he goes to this party, and what happens at the party is he doesn't get with Jada, who he always wanted to be with, but instead he ends up getting with what would become his first wife. He gets with his first wife and is doing stuff with, and basically gets married to her, has a child, and his first wife actually left him because she realized that he was still trying to get with Jada the whole time. So we have to be honest, brothers. A lot of us get into marriages for the wrong reasons. If we just start there, right? Can we just start there? We start right there, that a lot of brothers out here, a lot of people, not just brothers, but brothers and sisters, but let's deal with ourselves, man. We are not getting into relationships with the right thought process. We are not getting into relationships and believing, you know, that we should do things in a well-rounded way, spiritually, emotionally, physically, psychologically, et cetera. We are getting into relationships with people and trying to do all this stuff with people to make sure that we're satisfied. And so he got into a relationship that really was just him continuing to be a womanizer. He got into a relationship with a wife, was still doing things with people on the side. He tried not to get a divorce because he had a very, you know, a very good thing as far as morally, as far as his mindset was concerned. He was thinking that, okay, I'm married, but I don't want to get a divorce. But you were already divorced when you were trying in your mind to have a relationship with somebody else that wasn't your wife. You know, in his mind, he thought that it was good to carry on a relationship with somebody that wasn't his. And so now you're dealing with him having backlash that comes along with it, to where they all his wife leaves him. He ends up getting with Jada eventually, which he was chasing after somebody who really didn't want him. Here's another thing now we're dealing with, is that you're leaving somebody who was dedicated to you. And the reality was, is that they were actually, you know, you're leaving them to go to somebody who's not dedicated to you at all. They're stringing you along at times, but they're not actually dedicated to you. So here we are dealing with Will trying to have a relationship with somebody. He's not being faithful in his first marriage. He's not being even faithful mentally. And then he's still, after the marriage is over, he's trying to get with Jada Pinkett. Now, they get together and they decide they're going to have an open marriage from the beginning. Let's not get this thing twisted, that they came in and they decided they just were going to do whatever it took. They were people that wanted to be open and go into this thing of open marriages. They both did not fully involve themselves and still will not. If you listen to, I think it was the Red Table Talk thing that they did, and they brought Will on the show, or Jada brought Will to the table, or whatever it was, or brought herself to the table. I don't know how they described it, but something along those lines. You're seeing that Will is making it a point to try and even say, hey, you know, you did something wrong. She says, oh, no, you know, I had an entanglement with August. And he says, an entanglement, you know, like, what is an entanglement, right? But you're seeing, once again, a father. And this is a prominent black man set up to be a father. All of us believe in what he's, you know, at least many of us. I won't say I really fell for it, but many people believe, you know, this is a guy, we got to look up to him, look at what he's doing for his children. And all the while, we're forgetting, you know, that his son is having all types of episodes, his own drugs, his daughter with the mother and father's knowing is having grown men in their 20s taking pictures with her in her bedroom while she's like 13, 14 years old. And this is something that's going on. If you look at the relationship, though, everybody's praising it. But if you really look at it, you have a relationship that was doomed to failure from the beginning. And if we're not careful, we're going to fall along the same lines. We're going to be doomed to have mistakes because we have not fully dedicated ourselves to what an actual father is, to what an actual man is, and therefore to what I'm teaching my children. Now your children are growing up where your daughter is doing all types of stuff with men at an early age, and you're allowing it to happen. Your son is out here on drugs. Your son is out here cross-dressing, and look, there'll be some people that will argue, oh, he should cross-dress, and it's his lifestyle, and blah, blah, blah. But it's not what he even wanted to do. He's doing it out of being, you know, on a drug. And it's not him trying to find himself. It's him literally doing things that he thinks is going to get people to buy albums and do stuff like that. Even listening to some of the stuff he speaks on when he's trying to do motivational speaking like his father does, he's speaking on things that actually are sensical, but really in reality don't have any context and are very misleading. And so here's Will with an opportunity to be able to lead his household. But at the same time, what we have to be careful of is not doing this thing where we act like anything that's said against a woman is toxic. You know, like we have to be against this mindset to where anything that we say, like, she's a woman, Jada Pinkett, and look, she's from Baltimore. I got people in Baltimore, got property in Baltimore, got love for Baltimore. Love the fact that she made it out. Love the fact that she reps Baltimore, reps Tupac. Well, she don't rep Baltimore that much anymore. But, you know, used to rep Baltimore heavy. Still hangs out with Monique and was actually willing to defend Monique when Monique wasn't getting money. Monique, another girl from Baltimore. I'm with it on that end. But we're not going to do this thing where, hey, Jada, you're allowed to go out and tell everybody that you have a successful marriage where you're faithful to one man. That's what you projected. Like, let's just keep it 100. What you projected was faithfulness to one person. That's what you told us you were doing, was you were always being faithful to one person. And what happened instead was that you and Will were doing everything except being faithful. You got caught up in it, and you still won't even just say, yeah, I had a relationship, we had sex, whatever. You're still out here talking about entanglements and all types of other things. And both of you and your husband doing the whole thing are trying to stay away from the fact that you have this open relationship and that you're both hurting because of it. And so if that's the case, if that's the reality, that you're both hurting, that you're both going through, then what we should do is tell the truth, that what you told us is misleading because you're not getting results. And then even for them, if you even go further, they both mention things like bad marriage for life. That literally means that they're like, oh, you know, things are good or bad. We're, you know, whether we're cheating on each other or not, we've decided to stay with each other. That's not the recipe for happiness and success and for having your children do things that are great with marriage. And also, if we be honest, we have to also make it a point to recognize that not only is the bad marriage thing not a good thing to project, but also to start saying, oh, we're life partners. We don't want to consider ourselves to be marriage. Married brothers. Let me say this, and then Alfred, if you want to jump in on this, please feel free. But brothers, let me just say this real quick, because we have been bamboozled on this. We've been led astray, run amok, et cetera. We keep telling people, and we keep falling for this okey-doke that, hey, don't get married. And they keep giving you every reason. Like, don't get married. It's just something that's going to cause you to be able to, you know, somebody to take all your money. Or brothers, don't get married. It's something that legally obligates you to certain things that you shouldn't be obligated to. And the reality is that the word marriage and the word sex are the same thing. If you have sex, you're married. And if you're married, you have sex, period. End of discussion. It's so much so that if you were to look at law, law actually teaches us and tells us specifically that if you get into marriage with somebody and you go before the judge and you tell the judge, hey, my wife has not had sex with me in these last 6 months, I want out, the judge will actually annul your marriage, because if you have not consummated it, it is not actually a legal marriage. Okay? We know this for a fact, but we're so twisted in this. So when we look at a lot of the Will and Jada stuff, I understand we got to talk about Will too. I understand we got to talk about the children, and they were actually letting August come in the house and go into the room. We got to talk about the mother who was living in the house and allowing this stuff to happen too. We got to talk about all this stuff. But we're not going to act like Jada just is some victim because now people are saying stuff. I said this today. I can't remember, I do a whole bunch of stuff, but I said this on one of the platforms today, that, look, I'm a pastor. And as a pastor, if I'm out here telling everybody, be faithful to your wife, love your wife, et cetera, and y'all find out that I don't even come home 5 days out of the week, right? Like, you have a right to put me on blast. You have a right to call me out because I publicly announced, hey, I'm doing things the way I consider to be right, and then you come to find out that I'm lying even about what I present. People are not coming at Jada. There are some people who are jerks who are coming at Jada just because she's a woman and trying to make her feel bad. But let's be real. Jada's issue is that she said she would be faithful. She told you she's supposed to be faithful. And her husband were anything but faithful. Okay? So that's something that we've got to put in there. But I don't know if
Brother Coopy?
Yeah, Brother Alfred, if you're still there.
Yes, sir. We have a question from the chat room, from your chat room for the show. Brother from PTA wants to ask, what is a good reason to get married? Not that I'm thinking that people shouldn't, but just asking. Another question, the two-part question is, within the vast minority of marriages ending in divorce, I'm not sure we as a collective are sure about the reason for these unions.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All
yeah.
right. Those are the two statements right now.
Thank you very much. So to the person who asked the question, or people who asked the questions, or the two-part question, those are great questions. So I think they're one and the same. So I'm going to answer them. I'm going to answer them as if they're one question because they go together. They actually go together, you know, like whatever your favorite two things together, peanut butter and jelly or whatever, they go together very well. So that's a huge problem is, number one, why do people get married? That's a, and I don't think people understand the why. And if we be honest, we don't even look at marriage. Sometimes we look at marriage just like we look at religion or whatever. We look at things so in a mystical or from a mystical perspective so much that we forget that religion or marriage or your personal life or whatever, it should be practical, not mystical, right? Anything that we do should be for practical reasons. So number one, in my culture and people that I that I'm from in my tribe and stuff like that, we actually when it comes to a man specifically, just to kind of give you an example of let's be on the reason why. For a man, the first 3 years that he's born, he is supposed to be taught nothing else other than he's a male. That's our belief. People might try to argue that. I'm just telling you, not everybody's culture is our culture, right? So in our culture, men are taught that they're men for the first 3 years of their life. After that, the next 3 years, they're weaned from their mother, not necessarily just from breastfeeding, which could have already happened, but also mom starts getting them prepared to be around dad more and more. Then they get to the next 3 years. By the time they hit age seven, they are whatever they do, whatever they're learning from dad directly. So, you know, like we homeschool, and at a certain age, whatever dad does, he's going to do. So if dad's speaking on the radio, if dad's motivational speaker, dad writes music, dad speaks to people all over the world, dad talks about religion, et cetera, he's going to do what I do because he's going to be by my side all the time. Next 3 years after that, we hit age 10. Next 3 years after that, he's going to start learning, you know, our canon, our canonical view, you know, our religious viewpoint. He should already have some of it, but he's going to learn it on a level that he never has. Once again, part of his home training is not just going to be what everybody else tells him he's supposed to do, but what do we believe? Next 3 years after that, you know, he hits age 13, then all of a sudden he starts preparing to learn specifically what is a man. What is it that you do? What is it that you accomplish? How do you take care of things as a man? The next 3 years after that, we teach him what is a husband, a houseband, the one who binds the house together, the one who's supposed to set an example, the one who's supposed to teach, the one who's supposed to protect, all those things. Then the next 3 years after that, we teach him what is it to be a father? How do you take care of your children? How do you make sure that you learn and you grow and you become, you know, comfortable in your surroundings as a father? Then after that, we say, okay, we have an inheritance for you. We have finances we've saved up. We've taught you all the ways. We've given you a house. We've given you a place to stay to where you don't have bills and all this stuff, just like other people of other races do all the time. And we teach you all those things, and we say, okay, here you go. Go out and make us proud with the knowledge that you have, right? And he's able to go do that. So number one, when we're teaching this stuff, first of all, what is even your point as a man, your point as a father, your point as a husband in a marriage, right? A lot of people don't even think about that. What is the reason? Like you're saying, really what you're asking is a great question. Why should I get married? And a lot of us don't even think about that. Even our sisters, if we look at them, I know this is a show for us as brothers, but even if we look at our sisters, they learn how to have a wedding, and they learn how to play with like Ken dolls and Barbies, right? And Ken never even speaks, right? Like if you have a Barbie situation, Barbie tells Ken everything he's supposed to do, and Ken always listens, and Ken understands what it is that Barbie's saying, and you know, because it's coming from one person's point of view, this little girl point of view, and grown women grow up still with the same little girl point of view, thinking that they're going to marry Ken, and Ken is going to act just like, you know, or your man, whoever you marry, is going to act just like Ken. But the reality is, you run into a real, actual adult male, and he doesn't do those things. He doesn't live in that manner. He doesn't project himself that way, et cetera. And so now, all of a sudden, here we are in a weird situation, right? So I think we have to be careful to start even telling people what is the why. What is a husband? Are you qualified to be a husband before you even get married? Because as a husband, before you get married, you should already know what a wife is. You should know what she's supposed to bring. You should know that you should further her vision. You should also know that she's supposed to support you to be able to bring your vision to pass. You should know that both of you are a political item, and that's a huge thing that people don't like to talk about, but you are a political item. Whoever you marry, they speak to who you are. They tell the world who you are, your children. When you have children with this person, they will look like you guys. They will represent your household, whatever your last name is. So it's really important that we speak to to those things. So now, what are some reasons, if we look at it from a different mindset, if we could actually have a whole long show just on that. So I'm trying to do this real quick, believe it or not. But now, to get to it, what are some reasons we should get married? Well, okay, politically, what is this woman, what are her viewpoints? Do they agree with mine? Are we both thinking about children the same? Do we both think about abortion the same? Like, these are things that come up in relationships, right? Do we both believe, for better or worse, sickness and health and death do us part? Do we believe that men are masculine and that masculine men can be toxic, but masculinity within itself is not toxic? These are things that you begin to look for, rather than, for most of us, it's this simple. She's down for me. She makes some food. We go out to eat. She's good in the bedroom. Okay, I guess I'll wife her up. And then, of course, when stuff gets tough and all these other questions you never thought about until you're actually, you know, a year in, 2 years. Some people don't even make it. I do a lot of marital counseling. You got some people that make it 2 months. And then, you know, they're ready to get out because nobody ever sat down with them and taught them this. And so I think that's something we need to reintroduce, you know. And it's fatherhood.org, you know, just a little plug. I haven't got to the place of advertisement, but just to let you guys know, you can go on with us and you can sign up with us for classes on how to be a father. And it's just $20 for the classes. It happens every month on the 25th of each month, going all the way to December 25th. So next, you know, you got July 25th, August 25th, September 25th, October 25th, November 25th, December 25th. And Brother Alfred will be giving some great classes on that stuff. These are things that we need to be taught. What is it that a man should even be thinking about before he goes into a relationship? What are you prepared to do? Are you even looking for, you know, like they always say, what with guys, girls are looking for the bad guys, or, you know, they're looking for a bad boy. Well, one of the questions we have to ask ourselves, are we looking for good girls or bad girls? We say we want good girls, but if she's been sleeping around with everybody else and she just started sleeping around with you, it doesn't mean that you got a good girl. I'm not saying that we should slut shame, but we also just got to be real. Those are things you're going to be looking for. If you're looking at a girl who is having abortions, if she gets with you, you know, then what is she going to do abortion-wise? If you're not somebody, you know, and these are really tough topics to tackle, I understand. But I'm just saying, like, there are certain things. Even certain things as far as health-wise. Are you guys ready to go into the same stuff health-wise? Are you guys going to eat the same stuff? Are you guys going to speak to each other in a certain manner? Are you guys prepared or will you speak each other's love language? For some people, they want to see what you do. For some people, they want you to say things that are good to them. For some people, they want gifts. And some of us will say that there are people who are gifts, give gifts out, and that we'll call them like gold diggers. And it's like, no, their love language is gifts. You can give them a card, and they'd be fine. You know, they're not looking for you to have to spend a whole bunch of money. So there's a lot of this stuff that goes on, and I think we should be, you know, aware of those things. Brother Alfred, I see you getting ready to come on. I see a 647 number, but I don't know if that's what it is.
We have another caller coming in on 647-204-6. You are on with Brother Koofy Speaks. Go on.
Hey, good afternoon, brothers. How you doing?
Hey, good afternoon.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I'm doing all right. I think that was a great question that you're bringing up. Why? Why do people? What's the reason for the marriage? Meaning, you know, if I met somebody today, what? And you brought up a lot of good compatibility questions, and I think that's almost another show in itself. Making sure that you're compatible with someone, asking and answering enough questions to make that determination. It's almost like Neely Fuller says, it probably should be about 300 questions to ask and answer between both people. Very probing questions.
Yeah.
Why? Like,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Like what is the reason? So if I meet somebody today, and even if we're compatible, why are we doing this? What's the outcome of this effort? Right? Like what? So we get together, and being in love with someone is no reason to get married. I mean, I just think there's thousands of people that we could all fall in love with in this world that we spend enough time with. So there has to be another reason. At least I would think there might be. This is a question I'm posing. you know, I guess it's the same question. What is and maybe the reason is different for everybody, but what's the outcome of this exit, all of this that we're about to do? And if I'm younger and I'm, you know, we're spending all this money on a wedding and getting all these people involved, and then next thing you know, we have a house and we're in the house. What is our goal? And I think that's one of the questions that probably needs to be clarified. I mean, there could be one person wants to just have a family and sit around in front of the TV and kind of do the thing, and the other person is thinking they want to go out and conquer the world and travel and, you know, like,
right.
So I think two people need to be clear because it's an enterprise at the end of the day. And I think marriage is probably the most valuable enterprise in the world. But it's still, at the end of the day, it should have a purpose. And two people should be clear on what the purpose and what the outcome of this thing is. 20 years later, 30 years later, what should we have gotten out of this? What should we be doing? You know, is it just family? Is it building a business together? Is it, you know, I don't know. But it's a great question. It's a great question. And I think it's an important one.
Yeah, and thank you for the call. Thank you for all that you've just laid out, because that really is huge. And one of the things that I do personally when I talk to people, there's something I lay out a lot, which is vision, purpose, and value, VPV, vision, purpose, and value. And that's in anything. If somebody asks me, like I've had people, hey, how can I help the black community do blah, blah, blah. I've had people ask me, you know, about relationship advice. I've had people ask, you know, all types of stuff. And when I talk to people, I always bring up vision, purpose, and value. You've got to be able to have vision. Like, can you see past, you know, today? Like, vision is huge. It's a blueprint. What you're talking about basically and describing is a blueprint. If I'm in a relationship with somebody, the blueprint has to be on point, or anything. If I'm building a building, for example, you've got to have a blueprint in mind, and you've got to be able to say how many clothes are going to be, like, even to the point of how many clothes will people be wearing if I'm building a building. I have to know how much weight the maximum amount of pounds is that somebody can be in on a floor or on an elevator. And by the way, that's not even the maximum amount of weight. That's just letting, for the people, they need to look at that as the maximum amount of weight. But for me as the builder, I'm actually looking at that as I'm going to make maybe say 10,000 pounds can be the most in this elevator. However, you know, it can probably hold 13,000, but I'm not going to say that. I'm going to actually have a vision to say, all right, I'm going to make the warning spot a lot less than what the actual give out spot is, if you know what I'm saying. Like, I'm going to have things in place to where I already am ready to, you know, to take care of things before they become an emergency. I already have things in case of emergency. Before, you know, I've already have things all over the building. I've got CPR stuff all over the building. I've got AEDs, you know, defibrillators. I've got that all over the building. I've calculated for all that. And then watch this. Then I go back before I even build the building. The blueprint actually tells me because of even the weight that's in the building, besides the design and everything else, it actually tells me how deep the foundation has to go, right? So once again, my foundation is based on where I'm headed. And a lot of people, like you were talking about, brother, they don't even think about a vision where they're headed. So your foundation is nothing. You know, even think about this. My wife and I said this, and we if I be honest, we're one of these couples where we paid out of our own pocket, you know, we paid for our wedding and stuff, and actually ended up paying a little more because we actually had a couple locations. We have one location we were going to do it ourselves, and then we just kind of said, no, we'll let some other people do it. So I actually put some money in somewhere else. Thank goodness I was able to have some other events there, so it wasn't a total waste. But we looked at the money we spent, and we literally said, look, if somebody asked us about marriage and all that stuff, one of the first things we would say is, look, we know you've been taught since you were a little girl that this is your day, and if y'all want to do it, that's fine. But imagine the amount of money you can save to just buy property outright. Right, to not have somebody who is, you know, borrowing money to be able to stay in a home or pay a mortgage for the rest of your life or all this. But no, you could actually get in a position to where you can, you know, be able to own your own spot rather than paying on something that, you know, is going to help to put you in debt. Even things like that, like we don't think vision-wise. And then, so you have vision, then you got purpose. It's the VPV, vision, purpose, value. So you have vision, where am I headed? Purpose then is what I'm doing every day. Like, purpose is daily manifestation to get me towards the vision. And a lot of people don't have purpose in their marriage or in their relationships. Like you said, we don't have purpose because we don't have vision. All we thought about was somebody told us you're supposed to get married. You get married, and then all of a sudden you realize, huh, maybe we ain't really supposed to be married like this. And then, but you could have been, but you never thought about where you were headed. And so many people, getting even to the brothers' question in the comment section or in the chat section, you have all these people who are talking about this stuff, about purpose and why should we do this, why should we do that? Well, it's because of your vision. Where are we headed? Like for me, you know, I know that I'm like a saying that I go by all the time is that I'm changing lives one mind at a time by being a voice of the voiceless and speaking the unspoken. How do I do that? I do that by teaching people. Education is key. I do that by going to different places in the world or sending money to different places to make sure people have places to stay, things like that. My life is dedicated to the cause. So when I got with my wife, guess what I did that a lot of people don't do? I told her the vision because I had one, right? Like a lot of brothers don't have a vision, so you want a woman to follow you or you want to even tell her what she's supposed to do. But after a while, women, for the most part, I'm not saying every woman, but for the most part, women are kind of coming along and trying to be like, okay, I'm along for the ride. As long as you can make sure that I get these certain things that I like done, I'm really okay with you reaching certain heights. Matter of fact, I'm going to try and make sure that you look good. You know, if I'm in front of people and I got a button out of place or something, my wife's going to come up and make sure that that button's in place. Like she's looking to make sure that I have the image that I need to portray in order to get to a certain position that I've told her we need to get to. But if I didn't tell her and show her possibilities and stuff, what is she going to be able to do to help? And a lot of people have arguments about that because we got a lot of men. Not saying this is always the case, but I'm saying a lot of times you have a lot of fathers who become fathers and don't even have vision. They don't even think, what am I going to do for my children? Before I have children, what's the goal for them? You know, like if I'm going to travel the world and stuff, then my children need to be taken care of. If I'm talking about having a home, my children need to have homes, and their children need to have homes. My thought process on that is even I believe that I'm working for my children's children's children, because if my grandchildren are going to be taken care of, it means that I need to supply the needs for their children so that they can be straight and not have to think about certain things that other people do, because economics sometimes is more important than education. So, you know, a lot of those things, like what am I doing this stuff for? Right. And so who am I marrying that's going to help me to accomplish that? And if I'm with somebody who's not trying to accomplish that, then, you know, I told her everything up front. You know, she had the choice to stay or she could have went. Thank God that she stayed and she blessed me with her presence. And I know I can't do the stuff that I do without her. But that's reality. It's like a lot of us just choose to be with people just because of convenience, just because they're there. And the reality is that's not a really good thing for us to do. So you got vision, you got purpose, VP, and then the last V, value. Then on top of that, now your value system has to be in order to where you value what you're doing, even when others won't value. Because you'll have times even when the people who are with you and say they're ride or die, they will disappear for seasons, or they won't understand, or they'll be ticked off because you're bringing them into territory that's kind of frustrating, but you're trying to do stuff because you're trying to do stuff that hasn't been seen. Do you value what you saw enough to stay in your purpose, your daily manifestation, hitting your goals to where you're going to reach the level that you saw or even surpass it? So all those things are very valuable in the marriage. And yes, a lot of marriages, they do decrease. A lot of people are together and aren't even married. But like I said, my definition of marriage is a little different because as far as the further back you go in history for all cultures, sex is marriage and marriage is sex. But we don't, and even thinking about that, if I can just be real on that, brothers, and then I'm going to put a little advertising in real quick. But if we can be honest about that too, marriage and sex, like we try to separate the two or try to be like, you know, the marriage is only as good as the sex or whatever, because once again, we've got an immature thought process. Now, if that's part of what you're doing, and I think this is healthy, by the way, as somebody who talks to couples, I think you should talk to each other. You should talk to each other about your sexual, what it is that you like sexually, or if you're both virgins, if one of you is a virgin, because a lot of people are coming in there with a lot of different mentalities, because even somebody, their DNA goes into your brain, and it's there until the day you die. So you have brothers, if you were a brother out there and you had 20, 30, 100, whatever, women that you've had sex with, and now you're trying to have sex with this one woman, and let's say maybe she's had sex with as many as you are, maybe she's had sex with nobody at all, you're having a whole bunch of sexual, you know, mindsets and people and relationships and thought processes. And what did you have to do to get this girl in bed? And this girl did this, and this girl liked this position. So you've got a messed up sexual issue already, to where you two are trying to learn each other, and at the same time you're trying to disregard all of this other stuff on your mind from all these other relationships and all these things that supposedly made you feel good. You're trying to dismiss all that just to try and make your marriage work. So a lot of those things, you know, we need to take, we need to take responsibility for. And as fathers, we need to start teaching this stuff in advance, so we don't have children who are coming up later on and being confused by this, like many of us are, as far as what in the world does marriage even mean, because nobody's taking time out to teach us. Even sex, they gave it to somebody else in school. They called it sex ed. So you didn't even get educate your children on sex. So no wonder they out here doing stuff that's foreign to you. You're like, where did you get all these ideas from, and sexuality and genders and blah, like, where are you getting this from? They didn't get it from you. They didn't get it from your culture. They didn't get it from your belief system. And so now you're trying to fight, because now people are trying to make you look bad in front of your children and say that you're a bigot or you're prejudiced or you're just as bad as a racist. And it's like, you know, well, hold on. Like, that's not what happened. There's a whole bunch of stuff, like I was saying, that goes into this. But thank you guys for those questions real quick. Let me take a quick break, if I can, to make sure that we talk about some things coming up. Once again, as a reminder, we're talking about fathers. You can go to nsfatherhood.org. That's N is a national, S is in saving fatherhood, nsfatherhood.org, and sign up for Zoom meetings that we're having, classes that are being taught by Brother Alfred. They're $20, $20 for the class, and they happen every 25th of each month. So we're talking July 25th, August 25th, September 25th, October 25th, November 25th, and December 25th until the end of this year. Yes, December 25th. You can give yourself or somebody who you love an early Christmas present. You know, watch it with your son, whatever. Have a conversation on what being a father is. One of the great things about Zoom, too, is that you can actually talk to the instructor and you can look at them face to face. I do a lot of my classes on Zoom as well. So powerful stuff. Please look out for that stuff coming up. Once again, just go to nsfatherhood.org in general, because on nsfatherhood.org we're doing everything that we can to try and make sure that we make fathers better and allow fathers to grow. So that's something that we are looking for you guys to do as well. Also, too, feel free to go on there and see if you can help us out financially on nsfatherhood.org, so we can help some of these fathers who are trying to do things as far as maybe being involved with their children's lives or how to take care of them during these tough times with Corona, et cetera. So these are things that you can do. Brother Alfred, did you have anything else that you wanted to put on before we go into the last and go into these last couple of subject matters?
Yeah. Yeah, well, listen, I want to let everybody know, please also go on the website. We also have gifts for fathers and wives. We have leggings, pants, pillows, NSF piddles. We have the National Saving Fatherhood hats, what we call the Cool Daddy hats. You can go on there, and every time you do that, you remember you're supporting the program that's out there. So, you know, I want you to know, just log onto the website, get on long, and put your order in, get yourself a gift or something like that. But you're able to, you know, look cool and able at the same time with that. You're able to also show your support for a positive cause. We also want to let you know that, you know, that about the classes, we are asking, it's a donation. That donation, $20 donation, is going to support the classes but also support the programs. And anytime we do a program or any event, remember, we're doing, trying our best to raise the money to help somebody out. Remember that old saying, pay it forward. So we appreciate you support and your time. My name is Brother Alfred, and I might always say to you,
Papa
is in the house. All right, Brother Kofi, it's all you.
All right, thank you, sir. That's our fearless leader there for andisfatherhood.org. So we've just got a little bit of time left. I'm going to go into one subject matter real quick and give you some more information about us once again, and also about some of the things that I'm doing as far as personally. So we'll give you that in a little bit. But we spent a lot of time, and thank you, by the way, for helping us to spend a lot of time. We actually spent quite a bit of time on this subject matter, more than what I was thinking. But that's great. I actually want to let's see on here. I guess we'll talk about the three C's. Let me leave you with this because this is all relationship oriented. So let's talk about the three C's. Even as a father, maybe this will help some people with some of the questions that were brought about. So when you're dealing with the three C's, I want you to think about three C's as far as relationships that you should have. And a lot of us, we mix up these C's. A lot of us, we put them in the wrong order. And we put these labels, if you will, these titles on the wrong people. So first thing that we have when we deal with the three C's, or well, let me just label all three C's, okay? The first C, and if you want to write these down or just try to memorize them, these are really great. I don't remember who the first person is to ever speak these. But these have been powerful for me, especially because I'm somebody who, by my nature, I just kind of like to let everyone involved in my life, and sometimes I would let them be too involved in certain spaces of my life. So these are three C's that have really blessed me in any type of relationship. The first C is confidant, right? Confidant, right? The second C is constituent, and the third C is comrade. First C is, once again, is confidant. The second C is constituent. The third C is comrade. Last time, the first C is confidant. The second C is constituent. The third C is comrade. Okay? And confer you. So if you're taking notes, take note of what these are. So these just quick definitions as far as, you know, what we're going to say as far as our specific, specific to this context. A constituent is somebody that's for you. A confidant is somebody who's for what you're for. And a comrade is somebody who's against what you're against. One more time. A confidant is somebody that's for you. A constituent is somebody who's for what you're for. And a comrade is somebody who is against what you are against. Let me just say it one more time again for those in the cheap seats, all right? Once again, a confidant is somebody who is for you. A constituent is somebody who is for what you are for. And a comrade is somebody who is against what you are against. What does that mean? A confidant is somebody who's for you. And if you're blessed to have 2 to 3 people in your entire life, hear what I'm saying, because family members, brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, aunts, uncles, best friends, blah, 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 et cetera, are confidants. No, a confidant, if you can get 2 to 3 people, now maybe you're blessed to have 10 people, 20 people, 100 people, I don't know if that exists, but if you can get 2 to 3 people who are always for you, right, not for what you give them, not they're not going to tell you what you always want to hear. Sometimes even if you don't want to hear the good in you, they're going to tell you the good in you, like they're about you. Even if, you know, if rubber meets the road, like I've had people who we weren't getting along at the time, and I call all these people, I got a flat tire, I need help. Nobody will answer, nobody down for whatever, but that person that I'm having an argument with or whatever, they still inform me enough to where they'll show up at 3 a.m. to be able to make sure I get to where I need to get to, right? Like they're for you. Even if you're in an argument, they're still for you. Even if y'all don't talk like you used to, they're still for you. A confidant is somebody who's for you no matter what. Okay, that's a confidant, and you only get a few of those in your life, max. And we're in a situation where people think that everybody is our friend, and so we even marry people thinking that, oh, she's friendly, she does friendly behavior, including sex, but other things, you know, she's nice, she's cooked food for me, she's done these things, right? But she might not be for you. Once again, what is your vision? What is it that you've been called to do that nobody else on the planet can do? Will she help you to accomplish that? Is she ready to make the sacrifices that are there to be able to help or you, right? Of course, she's for herself to a certain extent because she's married to you, and as you go, she goes. But even in that, she's still for you, right? She's for you, right? She's not trying to get you to give her what she wants, and then once she gets what she wants, she's gone. She's for you. And those are things, once again, like the brother talked about, we have to bring those things up and ask those questions, and we often do not, right? Second, though, on the list is a constituent. Many people are in our constituency, and we have a lot of people who are like that. That's the second most group that we have, and those are people who are for what we are for. So the confidant, somebody is for you. They want you to shine. They want you to do well. They celebrate when you do well. The confidant is for what you're for. So they will do everything with you as long as you're getting results that they want. But if they find somebody else who can get what they want faster or better than you, at least in their estimation, then they will leave you. Okay? So a lot of people get in relationships with people who are not for them, but they're for what they're for. But if they realize that they can, you know, they might be with you know, they might be with Johnny right now, but if they come to find out, you know, that Cletus over there can do what Johnny does and do it better, you know, they might leave because Cletus might get that money that Johnny can't get. And if that's what they wanted and you can't provide it, then guess what? They will leave you. And here's the thing. Maya Angelou taught us well. She said, when somebody tells you who they are, believe them. And we are the people who have not been believing people when they tell us who they are. You know, I've been with sisters before where I've met them. Like, and well, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and tell a little bit about this. I ain't going to tell all of it. But, you know, I've been in situations where I got in a relationship, went out with the girl, went to visit her homegirl that night, went to her homegirl's house. Homegirl had a dude who wasn't her husband over the house. And then eventually the girl I went out with would cheat on me. She told me who she was. She was faithful for a little bit. But when she found out that there were dudes, when I was going through rough times and struggling and not bringing home the bacon and all that stuff, she showed me real quick, oh, okay, well, shoot, I'll go to the club and I'll meet up with this guy and blah, blah, right? She had no problem showing me that. Why? Why? Because she really had showed it to me before. I just didn't listen. You see what I'm saying? And people will say, people are for what you're for a lot of times. They're not for you. I've oftentimes told people this as a motivational speaking pastor, whatever classification I need to be put in, you know, traveling, talking to people. I've told people oftentimes, I understand that I'm a tree, right? And as a tree, I give fruit. And people ain't coming up to the tree because they love the tree. I got trees in my backyard all over the place. I've got mulberry tree in one property. I got a lot of different trees that we have. We're growing lemon trees, doing all types of stuff. And people aren't in love with the tree, right? They just want the fruit. So a lot of people will plant trees or have trees, and they ain't worried about taking care of the tree, making sure they take care of the roots, making sure the bark is good. They're not trying to help the tree out. They look at the tree for one thing and one thing only. That tree better give me some lemons, right? That tree better, when it's in season, those couple times a year, them mulberries better shake down, and I'm going to have my blanket underneath, and I'm going to catch as many as I can, take them in the house. But my wife, who's a herbalist, she loves the trees. Like, she has relationship with the trees. She looks for certain things that the trees do, and they speak to her, and they tell her she might need to do this or lift this up or do this to the branches. She might say, hey, you might need to go and cut this part of the tree or these branches or whatever because it's actually hurting the life of the tree, so you might have to hurt the tree now, but it'll cause it to give better fruit later on. She has a relationship that I don't have. With me, the tree is just there for sustenance, right? For me, if I see some potatoes growing in the backyard, I'm like, cool, we got potatoes to eat. But for her, it's a whole experience, and she's happy, and it's almost like children are growing when food is growing and stuff like that. And she gets excited about being able to keep, when we eat, she keeps the seeds because she wants to be able to cause further growth. She's about the tree itself, right? But a lot of people, they don't care about the tree. The constituent cares about the fruit. And so one of the things that blew my mind, one of the greatest sayings I ever heard, I don't think he made this up, but a guy named Dr. Miles Monroe, he once said that when it comes to a tree, he said, you've never seen a tree knock on somebody's door and ask that person if they wanted some fruit. A tree stays in its position, and people who come for the fruit, that's great. But if not, don't worry about it. And you're going to have some people, some women, some fellas, whomever, who are going to try to be friends, try to act like the confidants, but all they want is your fruit. Just put them in their place and make sure that you don't get mad when they run away because they weren't supposed to be your confidant. They weren't supposed to be your wife, right? They were supposed to be a constituent. They were there to help you to a certain point, and you should have never let them come outside of that relationship. The second you did, that's when you allowed yourself to get hurt because you knew that person was just a constituent, but you tried to make them a confidant. The last one, comrade, and then I'm going to go ahead and do some more advertising. We're going to head out. Thank you guys for being on with us all this time. So you have confidant. Those people are for you. You have a constituent. Those people are for what you are for. And you have a comrade. Those people are against what you're against. That's a whole other thing. And you got more people who are going to be comrades than will be constituents or will be confidants. You got a lot of people who will show up to help you fight against things that they do not like, but they will disappear as soon as they no longer need you to fight. So you have a lot of people get together to be able to make sure that you get out of poverty together, or at least be in less poverty. But as soon as that fight is over, they may not need you anymore, right? Kanye, even though Kanye would switch up his own stuff, but you know, he said, and or become his very own proverb, right? His very own prophecy. But Kanye said in the song, right? You know, and when he get, but you stay right, girl, right? And when you get on, or when he get on, he leave you for a white girl, right? Kanye ended up being that very person, but a lot of people are like that. They're against what you're against. They're against being by themselves. A lot of girls will get with you because they don't want to be by themselves. They don't like self, right? So you got to become a psychologist of sorts, because you're dealing with girls that don't even want to be who they are, don't even want to identify with black hair, don't even want to identify with being black, let alone being with a black man. So these are things, you're dealing with different people, and you've got to figure out who they are real quick, and then you can't allow them to come outside of that, right? Like, I'm married, so my list of confidants is going to be down to one person first, you know, two people if you take into my, my, you know, my viewpoint as far as God, right? But I tell people this all the time. I worry about pleasing God and pleasing my wife, and everybody else can just get in where they fit in. But thank you guys for being on. I appreciate the king and queen in each and every one of you. And even if you're not living in that kingdom or queendom yet, I appreciate the potential king and queen in each and every one of you. Remember, you can follow us at nsfatherhood.org. Also want you guys to remember that you can follow me if you can. Look up hashtag find Kofi. If you're just looking for me real quick, just go to Google and go to hashtag find Kofi, or go to anything, YouTube, whatever. Type in hashtag find Kofi, FINDKOFI. You'll be able to find out stuff that we're doing, trying to help people all over the world, trying to address poverty, be in the Black Lives Movement, trying to do all types of stuff to make sure that we as fathers are better and we as a community are better. So I thank you and I appreciate you. Thank you, Brother Alfred, again for this opportunity. Thank you for the caller. Thank you for the people in the chat. We'll be back on Saturday for Kofi Speaks next Saturday, 1 o'clock p.m. New York time. And also on Thursdays at 1 o'clock p.m. New York time, Brother Alfred allows me to be a co-host with him as we go into issues there as well. So we thank you. We give you guys honor as fathers for being on, as potential fathers for being on. Thank you for trying to better yourselves, and thank you for giving me this opportunity. As always, this is Pastor Kofi, aka the Shadow Band One, and I want you to remember that you are that we are all trying to change lives one mind at a time by being a voice to the voiceless and speaking the unspoken. And until I have an opportunity to be before you again, remember that you are loved, you are necessary, you are majestic, you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and you, which is all of us working together, will be the reason why this world can be better. Peace, brothers.